عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
You always heard that people always think the grass is green on the other side. The grass always greener on the other side. Instead of going to all the sides, we say, we'd rather just come away to the green side. You have confidence, they think the grass is green, so we'd rather come away here. Is that we mean dua that Allah Ta'ala accept our sitting, all of us, Allah Ta'ala make the means of our delight, Allah Ta'ala make the means of us being connected with Allah Ta'ala, and with that accept it. We all know that our greatest asset that we have is our iman. That's the greatest asset that Allah Ta'ala has given us. And only if we depart from the dunya with our iman intact will we be successful in the akhirah. Everything else in between is by the way. Whatever happens in between, that is by the way. As long as we have iman and we depart from the dunya with iman, then we will be successful in the akhirah. Yes, the degrees of success will vary. That will now depend on Allah Ta'ala's mercy, on a person's net, amal, how much of taqwa the person has brought in. But if there is no iman, then no matter what a person does, there are many non-Muslims who carry out many good deeds. Some of them are extremely charitable. Some of them have got such good hearts. Some of them are so good even to animals, to get human beings, even to animals. Some outwardly show some very good character. But at the end of the day, if they don't pass away with iman, can't be any successful. They will be unsuccessful. On the other hand, if a person has iman, and the person has got some weaknesses, some shortcomings, some gunas, some deficiencies, but he remains with his iman intact, and he passes away with his iman intact, this person is successful. Person is successful, ultimately you will be successful. Sometime it may happen that even a believer will have to go to Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us, guard us. A believer's going to Jahannam is like a purification process, an operation. When a disbeliever goes to Jahannam, is azab. He's punishing azab. Allah Ta'ala is punishing the person. When a believer, Allah says, we mustn't go, Allah mustn't put us in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala put us directly in Jannah, bila hisab kitab. Without any reckoning, Allah Ta'ala put us in Jannah. But when a believer, if he has to go to Jahannam or she goes to Jahannam, it is a purification process. The person is going to become purified. Once the person is now purified, now the person is ready to go to Jannah. So when it comes to our iman, if we come out of the masjid and there are some missionaries or some Jehovah's Witness or whatever, any other missionary workers from any type of so-called religion, if they have to approach us, any ignorant Muslim also, a Muslim who doesn't even know the basics of Islam, so they have to approach them, say, if I see, I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim, I am not interested in what you got on offer. I am a Muslim. So Shaitan knows that he cannot make that approach. When he wants to rob a mu'min of his a'mal, when he wants to rob a mu'min of his iman, it cannot happen in Tehran. Because iman is something that is beloved. It can't happen in Tehran. It can't happen on. The mu'min is not going to be fooled by that attack. Allah keep us, you know, this is calm. So what shaitan does, see, shaitan has studied all of me. Shaitan has got a lot of knowledge with regards to me. And shaitan knows which actions will take us away from the mercy of Allah. One is a person commits gunas, but there are certain gunas that if a person has to commit, then the curse of Allah Ta'ala comes on that person. Or the curse of Huzur-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes on that person. Now what is it meant that Allah Ta'ala's curse came on a person? It means that this person is now distanced from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Now what's the consequences of that? Being distanced from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, what's the consequences of that? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a lengthy hadith, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu something to the effect that no person will go to Jannah through his a'mal. Everyone will only go to Jannah out of the mercy of Allah. Sahaba even asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even you also will only go because of the mercy of Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied in the affirmative. So when a person doesn't have the mercy of Allah, then he won't have the tawfiq to carry out those a'mal that are taken to them. Sometimes it can happen that the heart becomes so rusted. Sometimes it can happen that the mind becomes so immune to sin that we start considering it not a big deal. Even I'm carrying out a major sin, but because it has become very commonplace, it's not a big deal anymore. And then it goes to a point where a person starts justifying the sin. Sometimes it goes to a point where the person starts making certain statements, his way of thinking changes in such a way that he has lost his iman along the way, but he himself is still feeling confident that I am Muslim. Yeah. Now we will think, but how is this possible? How can it be possible? Didn't it happen in the best of eras? In the best of eras, there were people who pretended to be Muslim. They read Salah with Muslim. They sat in the majalis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in reality, they had no iman in their hearts. They had no iman in their hearts. So it can happen, Allah protect us. Allah safeguard us. So it is necessary for us that we too study the deen of Allah Ta'ala and see which actions are going to take me away from the mercy of Allah. We are living in South Africa. We know that, you know, South Africa is high risk. So when it comes to our security is beefed up. So a person has got his parameter wall. On top of the parameter wall, maybe what electric fencing, depending on which area he's living, how bad the fan is. Yeah. Then maybe he's got a security guard also. Then maybe he's got a burglar guard also. Then he's got an alarm system also. So a thief, to get to that home, has to go through many things. If the thief only snipped the electric wire, the electric fencing, he only snipped that. He didn't even climb over the wall. He only snipped the electric fencing. And the next morning, the people of that house realized that somebody was trying to get Alhamdulillah, they didn't get ill, but they must have got disturbed, something may have happened. They didn't get ill, but hey, see the security, the electric wire, electric fencing is cut. Well, we are parishan. Before you get tea, your wife will make sure you phone the company, come and fix the thing up. After you want to work, you'll get 10 messages, maybe you phone. They're coming to fix it today, they must come today. Why? Because there is, now we are at a risk. The first, what you call, parameter of our security has now, they have broken through that. So there is a possibility the second one can break, the third one can break, and then they can come for us. So like that, when it comes to our deen, how can we allow? We have got this iman in our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surrounded it with so much of security. Now if there is a breach in one level of security, can we still be complacent? I said, no, I'm okay, I'm still reading my namaz, or reading my Quran, so I'm fine. It's only that. No. If I truly understand that this is my greatest asset, as soon as there is a breach in any level of security, I am going to become worried. I need to sort that out. It must be sorted out, it must be sealed up. Shaitan mustn't be able to make an attack now. So what we are going to discuss today is a few things that unfortunately have become common. We are not even regarding it as a sin anymore. But the consequence is such is that Allah Ta'ala's curse or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's curse is coming upon us if we engage in this. The first one is lies. Speaking lies, telling lies. With regards to lies, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Himself says in the Quran Sharif that Allah's curse is upon the lies. Allah's curse is on the lies. Now, before these, you see these phones are called smartphones. They're called smartphones. Mahazat Abdul Haq Madrasa, down Barakatu, he says the cell phone is a hell phone. Taking us to hell. So much of it nowadays. Yes, definitely can be used for good also. We too are using it now. To record, sometimes people are using it to stream. There's so much good also people. It's a tool, can be used both ways. But there's a lot of fitna. Now in the old days, a person spoke a lie, it was verbal. He spoke a lie to a person. If he wants to rectify the situation, he goes back to that person. But you know what? What I told you was inaccurate. For whatever reason he spoke the lie, he go and rectify the situation. So Shaitan was not pleased with that. Shaitan knows Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Allah's curse is upon the liars. If I go to this mu'min and tell this mu'min, give up your iman, he's not going to give up his iman. But I can involve him in lies. And I'm not happy that he's only lying to one person, two people, three people. So I need to now brainstorm. How can I get this movement to go into a wholesale lies? Wholesale lies. And in our zamana, it is the cell phone. It is the social media platforms. So many things on there. We just received one post, we forward it. We put it on this family group, we put it on that group. We didn't even make the haqeeq. Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned that it is sufficient for a person to be regarded as a liar that he just mentions everything he does. Without making the haqeeq, he doesn't check it up, he just mentioned it. Somebody just sent you one message about one whole class, he is involved in this, he is involved in that. I bought this thing, I send it to another friend, that's what I put it on one group. Before you know it, it's gone around the world. The life that I spoke is gone around the world. How am I going to undo that? How am I going to undo those lies? There was one lady, she came to one buzur, and she said that, you know, I need somebody's riba. Make somebody's riba. Now how do I atone for it? The person came to know about it. How do I atone for it? The buzur explained to her that she go and ask the person for maaf. Ask the person for maaf. And then ask Allah Ta'ala for maaf. Give the person some hadiyah, try to make the person happy. And don't do it. So she did that. So after some time she came again. She said, you know, I did what you told me to do. But the problem is not everybody in the village is talking about this. This riba that I need, now from one event to another, event to another. And although I didn't ask the person for maaf, but now that person hears from another angle, another angle. And she is thinking that I am still talking, after despite making maaf, I am still talking. Now how do I sort this thing out? So the buzur told her, says, see what you do, you slaughter one chicken. Why are we not going into the Iraq of chickens? And give you an example. Slaughter one chicken and take the feathers and put it, you know what we would call it, like the four-way stock. So take it and put it on the park. So she did that. She said, you must come see me after 2 weeks, come see me. So she put all the feathers there within. After 2 weeks, she came back to the buzur. Told her, now then go there to that intersection and bring all the feathers to me. She went there, she found one, she found two, came back, she said, all the feathers are gone. I can't find them, this couple I found and brought it. She told her, see then, what I'm trying to explain to you is you'll never be able to retrieve those feathers. The wind has blown in. Hearts have gone over it, whatever. Like that, the riba to cause you not going to be able to make damage control. Like that, the lies we see. You just put in. Sometimes it's somebody's izzat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us in the farewell hajj that every mu'min's respect, his honor, his wealth, his right. It is all of dignity. It is all sacred. And we are taking a person's honor, just taking it. Jose is telling it. And each person is telling, the other one will never get from me. And you don't know, the other fellow took a screenshot and he sent it to his mates. How much fitna is happening? And this is causing us to be distanced from the mercy of Allah. And we don't think anything of it. We don't think anything of it. We just folding, press of a button, it's gone. So that's one. I'm not each one, Mawlana Quran Sahib, Mawlana Muhammad Amin Sahib will give you one whole bayan on each one. We just need the points. So we're gonna move on to the next one. The next one, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One lengthy hadith is few things. La'ana al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-washima wal-mustoshima wa-akila al-riba wa-mukilahu wa-naha an thaman al-kalb wa-kasbi al-dhi wa-la'ana al-musawwir. So in this hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed the people that involve themselves in tattoos. The one who does the tattoo, the one upon whom the tattoo is done. There is one incident coming to mind, a little off the topic. There was one brother, he was a gangster in his day. So he had one tattoo of a tiger on his chest and one on either arm. tattoo of a tiger's face on his chest and on either arm. Now in his young days, he did it, and whatever life he was leading, he was leading. But Allah Ta'ala can give hidayah to anyone. This is why we must never judge anybody. Don't judge anybody. We don't know what's going to be our end. We don't know what's going to be our end. We must never become too complacent that I'm very pious, I've got some, you know, guarantee that I'm dying with iman and I'm going to die. So this person, he had his tattoos. As life went on, Allah Ta'ala gave me life. And now the time came, he wanted to go for Hajj. But he phoned me, said, Mawlana, you know what? Wait for Hajj. Alhamdulillah. He said, I've got a problem. What's the problem? He said, I've got these tattoos on my body. And now I have to wait haram. And these tattoos will be exposed by Allah's house. Telling me, saying, Mawlana, at one time in my life, this was my pride and joy. This tattoo was my pride and joy. To walk my chest out, the tattoo must show. He said, now I'm embarrassed with this tattoo. So I said, Baisi, don't let it get you down. I'll find out from a mufti what's the situation and I'll get back. So I found out, he said, look now, mistake made in his life, keep going by his path, and never mind, he can go away like that, Allah Ta'ala knows what's in his mind. He must go for his Hajj. And I got back to him, and I gave him the answer. So, 1 or 2 days went, he phoned me again, he said, Mawlana, you know what, I'm going to hospital. He said, now I'm going to burn it down. I'm going to burn it. There is a procedure, it's actually like a burn. Those that know, you know what I'm talking about. They actually burn you, because the ink is in under your skin, it's injected under your skin. I'm telling you, but you don't have to do this. I found out for you. He said, no. How am I going to go in front of Allah's house? So whatever it costed him, he went, he got it burnt out, and he suffered in pain for a while, painful. Every day I would change the gauze and dress him, like a burn. You see, when the love of Allah Ta'ala comes in, love, Allah Ta'ala puts his love in the heart. Allah Ta'ala lights the heart up with his nur. Then even fatwa can't stop him from his relationship. Even some say, no, he's permissible for you, he dies. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to make my Allah within the parameters of Sharia. I want to make my Allah. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first person who does this tattooing. The other thing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, curse the person who consumes interest. The one who is whether the person is charging interest, whether the person is paying interest, whether the person is writing the documentation, facilitating the deal of interest, all this is cursed. Today's time, this is another thing. Just like no thought given to me. I need to buy a house, my bank manager said I can get a loan. How else am I going to buy? How else am I going to buy? I got the Golf 7, but 8 came out now. Facelift came out now. R came out now. Now I was the dude. No, I was coming the latest one. Now if I don't have the, my body is gone now. But yeah, nobody is going to look at me. I need a new one. The new one is out. I will be the first. Even if I pay premium, no problem. How am I going to do? One brother told me, he said, oh, man, I don't worry about all that. As long as I can give them my old car, and they can take out the deposit for the new one, and give the new one, and I just carry on paying the premium, no problem. The whole time it is a cycle of interest. Just continuing in a cycle of interest.
We are waiting warmer than that. Then when our children are not listening to us, when bimaris are coming about, when business is going down, then we would know what's happening. No happiness. So many people say, Mom, I'm unhappy. I don't know why I'm unhappy. I've got everything. But I don't know why I'm unhappy.
When we wage war, Allah is not going to come down. As it is always says, Allah is not going to come down with a sword and stuff like that. So we must check ourselves. This interest in me. What is my situation when it comes to interest? One is buying house and buying car. The other is all these big chains, etc. What they see? Six, I don't know how they do. Something, no interest. So you take 6 months, no interest. More than 6 months, low interest. It sounds nice. So put a made it rhyme and everything. Sometimes people are doing a dangerous thing, Allah save us all. You see the banks, Shaitan got his ploys. He got his ploys, he got his traps. Now what he does, the bank will tell you, so you got a credit card. If you swipe your credit card, you use the credit from the bank, and you pay back within 55 days, no interest. Right? There's no interest. So now this person is saying, I've got 55 days to pay with the bank's money. I can pay with the bank's money. Businessmen are doing it also. I can pay with the bank's money. 55 days, I've got so much facility, I can pay. Right? What happens? You can't meet the payment. Something happened that month. Motor car broke down. Some unexpected expense came away. Something. And now you couldn't make that payment in 55 days. And now you went over. Now they're charging us interest. Whether it's 1 cent interest, whether it's 1,000 rand interest, it's interest. Then Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Naha Amshamanil Kalb. I'm not going to go into that. Kasbil Baghi. I'm not going to go into that. And the last thing that, inshallah, some other time, because of time, we won't go into all of this. That's not so common in our communities. And the last one, in this particular Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cursed, imagine, Rahmatul Adam. The one most merciful, the only one with more mercy than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Allah. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is cursing. How grave the sin must be for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to curse. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is cursing those involved in picturing. Right? Now in the old days, a person wanted to make a picture. It's a long drawn story. Now I must sit and draw, you know. Not everybody is very neat. So if I have to draw a picture, people may start crying. That's going to be tough. So, it was a lot of effort to draw. Then they came out with cameras. But even our older people will tell us, the camera now, you have to buy one flash, the lighting had to be right. When people used to go to take out photographs, they would go to the studio. And they had one big thing behind them and one screen. They pulled, you don't know, you thought somebody shot you. And you don't close your eyes because you get frightened when they pull the screen. Such a big noise. So don't close your eyes. So that was a headache now to go to the studio. Then they started making portable cameras. A person could buy a camera, now every house had a camera. But that was also still a headache. You had to buy a flash, put it on the camera. You buy a film, put it inside. Then you take it, maybe you put that film at 50. You could take 50 shots or 30 shots or whatever. And then when you finish, now you must send it for development. You have to send it now to the Kodak shop or this shop or that shop. You go get developed. And that will take now maybe 1 or 2 weeks. And then eventually you go, they give you one stack of folders. And it was costly. It was costly. Right? And now where are you going to put all these folders? Now you can buy one photo album. Put it all inside here. Now how many photo albums are you going to keep? Become bulky. So Shaitan said, no man, this is not working out. Once the person got 2 albums, 3 albums, he's saying, no, I can't take out more photos. Sometimes he wants to take out the photo, I got no flash. Sometimes he wants to take out the photo, the battery is flat in the camera. Sometimes he wants to take out the photo, I got no film. Sometimes he took out the photos when he sent it for developing, the thing didn't come out right. Shaitan said, no man, this is not working out. So slowly he carried on, he made one instant camera. And he came out with an instant camera. You take a camera, you take the photo, you've got a built-in flash. And as soon as you take the photo, at the bottom the photo comes out. You just peel off the paper, you've got your photo. Now everybody started becoming photographers. And then slowly we ended up where we are today. By feeling so left out in life that the only thing left now is the fellow goes to toilet and put it on Facebook. He bought one shoe to put on Facebook. He dressed up in the morning to put on Facebook. And Instagram and just folders upon folders. Now if that wasn't enough, then put a video on his channel, make it live with the sound effect and everything. Now make one drone. The whole function, take a video of the whole function, aerial view. You can zoom in, zoom out. What it has done is a little child also is taking to. Everybody is involved in this guna, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed a person who does this. So many ahadith in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the person who makes one picture on a day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is going to tell him now, blow life. Blow life. I was reading in one tafsir. Sometimes we think like, now what's the big deal? Just take off a photo, where's the problem? You see, Allah is the Khaliq. Each person is a masterpiece of Allah. And each person is unique. There's no 2 people exactly the same. No 2 people are exactly the same. Even people, they call them identical twins, they too not identical. There'll be some difference. And imagine Allah's Qudrat. Billions and billions and billions of people. No 2 people are identical. The Qudrat of Allah. You know, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned one majlis once. He said, how much shukr we must make to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala didn't leave our fashioning to our parents. That when we were in the womb, it wasn't the responsibility of the parents now to fashion this child. Allah did it. Allah fashioned each one of us. You are a masterpiece of Allah. When a person takes the picture, he is copying the copyright masterpiece of Allah. This is a masterpiece of Allah. It's copyright. Nobody else has got the rights to copy this. And now you are taking the original of Allah and you are making a fake. In the country, they will charge you for this. They can lock you up. They take your goods. They confiscate it. They give you a fine. And here we take Allah's masterpiece, Allah Ta'ala's copyright, just like that. So you are trying to now imitate the creation of Allah. Allah's sifat is Al-Khaliq. And now a person is trying to imitate that. It's a serious guna. And see, a guna is serious because Allah Ta'ala has said it's serious. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said it's serious. If we, in our mind, we say, oh, this is not a big thing. Why? Who asked for our opinion? Who asked for our opinion? We are mere slaves. We are mere slaves. We just have to do what Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. So as slaves, we must stay in our lane. We can't now start making the rules and questioning the rules. That is the lane of the master. We are just thieves. So this is the other guna that has become very common. One is the interest and the other thing is the problem. Let us be near. Let us be near. I'm going to come up with this guna. This guna is affecting the people. The learned, those who are not so learned, everyone is affected by this guna. And sometimes you may not be taking out pictures. Okay? You are some group, they sending you pictures. You are on some group, they sending you a video. Sometimes it is a joke. It is some joke. Is it right? We are guilty. We are guilty. Let us make Tawbah, make Istighfar, give it up, throw it out of our life. How can we take the chance that if I am involving myself in this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam curse of God? How can I take that chance? Besides the mercy of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. We got the mercy of Allah Ta'ala on one side. We got the sifarish of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the other side. And we sinful ones are in the middle. What else can we hope for? Can we put our hopes on anything else? The only two we can put our hopes on is Allah Ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So can we ever take the chance, the risk of doing anything that attracts their curses? Can we do anything? Take a chance, take a risk. The next thing is also come very common in our societies. Allah maafkare. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one child. Portion of the hair of the child was shaved and portion was left. Portion was left long, portion was shaved. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the Sahaba and all from this practice. And he said, either you shave the whole thing or you leave the whole thing. Now this is for qaza, not the qaza of namaz, where we are keeping the hair long somewhere, shaving somewhere. He said, no, it's like fashion and like this and like that. This is also something that is a major sin. And you see this guna. This guna is something that we are guilty of 24 hours a day. A person who has got is in this situation. He has made his hair like that. He shaved the sides, he left the top or whatever. Even when he is sleeping, he is in a state of guna. Unlike other guna, the time you're committing the guna, you are in the condition of guna. A person comes out of the guna, he is out of the condition of guna. But these type of guna, 24 hours a person is in the sun. Even if sleeping, he is in the sun. And why do we do it? Why do we do it? You don't get nothing from it. There is no fayda at all. Why we do it is because of another sin that we're going to come to just now. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, man tashabbala bi qawmin fa huwa minhum.
A person who emulates a people, then he is a part of them. So a person who is emulating the kuffar, the hairstyles, the dressing styles, the ways, etc. of the kuffar, does he want to be resurrected among them? If you don't want to be resurrected among them, so that hairstyle, who are we imitating? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never had that hairstyle. Sahaba ikram radhiyallahu never had that hairstyle. So when we keep that kind of hairstyle, who are we imitating? And all the other things of fashion which go against the Sharia, who we imitating? We imitating the kuffar? Then, this is also something becoming very common in the Ummah. La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-mutashabbihati bil-rijani min al-nisa wal-mutashabbihina bil-nisa'i min al-nisa. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed those men who imitate women, those women who imitate men. Now this is also a very vast topic. You know, Allah forgive us, Allah forgive us. The way shaitan camouflages this, the way shaitan, you know, he mesmerizes us. This fashion industry, all of that. They just put a couple of actors, one, two soccer players, bring that thing, and this, we think it's macho. See, there was a time, I'm talking about, you're not going too old. These people keep calling me senior, they're looking old before my time. He's still young. But when we were much younger, now when we were in primary school and things, by mistake, one pink cotton muscle come out. By mistake, one pink color cotton muscle come out. There's girls color. Pink is girls color. Blue is boys color. Where we got that from on that? But what I'm trying to say is, there was a nafrat for that pink, because that was a girl's color. Pink is definitely not a boy's color. It is a girl's color. But I'm saying that blue is a boy's color, then I don't know where we got it. But anyway, that pink. So you would never see a man wearing pink color, red color, shirt with flowers. What are you? You won't find a man wearing a shirt with flowers on it and all this thing. And then all of a sudden, the tears down the neck, 40 years. Man, the man is jimmy. And he looks big muscles and everything. And he's wearing a pink t-shirt. And see now, what happened to manhood? A man is keeping his hair long like a lady. The lady is cutting her hair like a man. The man is wearing earrings. The lady is wearing tackies. Our grannies would have never wore tackies. You know this tackies culture. Tackies, even the men never wore. Tackies was called sand shoes. You carried it in a packet and you went to school and immediately after PE, you put your shoes back on. No walk around with it. Sand shoes. Now tackies became culture. Now today the youngster wants the latest tackies. But they mesmerize our brains. So women are dressing up like men, they want to behave like men. Men are behaving like women, and then it becomes so confused and so mixed up that we end up with LGBT. And all the other alphabets. Allah protect us. Allah safeguard us. So here again we must check and check our children, what they're dressing, what they mean. A boy must be distinct, a girl must be distinct. If we start imitating the la'na of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I just said about this LGBTQ. and also is running. See, with regards to this LGBT, you see the Shaitan got a long life. So when he makes plans, you see our life is 60 years, 70 years on average. We plan to that point. Shaitan is looking for thousands of years. When he is making a plan, if he sees the fruition of a plan after 200 years, he's no problem. He's planning on 200 years ahead, 300 years ahead. This whole LGBTQ, whatever this means, there was a time when even the kuffar, this is filth. It's filth. I mean, no religion allows it. No sane person will allow it. This thing is filth. Finish. Dirt. Filth. This thing can't happen. Even the kuffar. Then slowly, this influence, that influence, in one movie they'll throw in one character, in one novel they'll throw in one character, sympathize, you know, this kind of thing. Slowly, a certain percentage of kuffar start becoming sympathetic. In this zamana, the attack is on the Muslim Ummah. The kuffar, he finished with kuffar in the back. The attack is on the Muslim Ummah. What is Shaitan's objective in this era? He knows that Allah Ta'ala protect us all. He knows it's not going to happen in the Muslim Ummah now that wholesale people are going to get involved in this guna. And he doesn't want to achieve that. What he wants to achieve is the children that are growing up now, they must grow up with this mindset that, look, boy, you can't look down on me. That's all he wants. That's all.